Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast with me, Sam Harris, your host. I invite fascinating humans from all walks of life to share their wisdom and unpack their mindsets and formulas for growth.
So what made you go into podcasting then? Was it sort of knowing yourself? Or how did you like go, my purpose, to podcast? I taught you that.
Well, I made the wrong decisions first. I had a marketing background, so I did know how to grow things. And so I was watching what people were growing. I was listening to business podcasts and getting ideas. And at one point, we started a website that was an e-commerce website because the domain was available, Gifts for Teen Boys. It's got buyer's intent. I know how to market this. I know how to use Pinterest for this. And so we built it, my husband and I. And then it was about a month and a half in when people actually started coming to the site, buying. And I don't even know if I like teenage boys. Like, what am I doing? So, which is going to change now that I have a child that's a boy. But then I started a travel blog and I was like, who doesn't want to get paid for travel? And so I started to work. I was getting a lot of free travel. Then I realized the last thing I want when I'm at the top of Machu Picchu is to be live streaming and then have to go home and write about what to do. That doesn't light me up. Just the travel lights me up. This is more my escape. And so then I shut down that. Finally, I remember sitting there thinking, what is my purpose? I have too many interests. And so I actually started to do all of the cheesy exercises at the end of books that I always skipped over. You think, like, just because you're absorbing the information that you're going to integrate the lessons without actually doing the work. And that's not how it worked for me. And so I sat there and I wrote down my happiest moments. What was I feeling in those moments? And it kind of drilled down to what my top values were, which were freedom, excitement, and learning. And then I asked myself, what does my perfect day look like? And so when have I felt most empowered? And so just asking myself these questions to try to guide myself down a path. And the final one that really gave me a lot of insight into an outside perspective of who I was I wrote a letter to 11 different people that I knew from different areas of my life, like an old employee, my old roommate, my mom, an old boss. And I asked them, hey, I'm doing this entrepreneurship course and I need to ask what my superpower is. If I had a superpower, what would it be? And I got all these answers back that you're good at taking information from a lot of sources and delivering it in a way that people can understand. You're good at teaching. You explain things in a way that I can understand. Or you're really good at simplifying complex ideas. And so I started to see myself in a way that I hadn't really before. I never really thought of myself as a teacher because I had never been in that role. But apparently I had been teaching people things for years. That, and then finally drilling down, well, what does my perfect day look like? Where are my strengths? What do I normally get caught up on? And I had been focusing on an idea of a blog, but I knew that whenever I write, I get caught in my head. And then as far as a video went, like a YouTube channel, I can always talk myself out of being on camera. And so I started thinking, well, people have commented on my voice or the way that I explain things. What about a podcast? And so every decision that became the podcast was narrowing down. I'm endlessly curious about the power of the mind. I want to expand my network was a goal of mine. So I decided to do an interview show. I wanted to speak instead of be on video or write. And so all of these things were questions I asked myself about what feels easy to me, what feels like I'm always climbing uphill, all of those things. And so it took me months, but when I finally got it, I felt so confident in that decision because I knew that every aspect of it was coming from an aspect of who I was. And it was the first thing in about 10 years that I had actually followed through with and kept going. And even now we're 3.5 years in, and it still lights me up every day. I still get excited when I'm like, oh, who am I interviewing next? Or what am I talking about next? And yes, it was a very intentional plan. And I'm so grateful that I did that work finally, because I could have gone another 10 years chasing all the wrong things. If I wouldn't have just hit that point, there have been other people that have kind of led the way, because a lot of those exercises that I did, I've learned from other people that had already found their purpose. And that's what I work with people now on finding, figuring out a purpose that's not only profitable, but also sustainable. Because the profit part is important too. As a marketer, I definitely also looked for what is there a need for, and kind of matched where I was going and what was needed. And that perfect kind of symbiotic choice helped me develop a business that I actually was able to start making money from pretty immediately.
Cool. Maybe I see if I can get you to time box your answers. Well, they always doing good things, and certainly you can see why you got into podcasts. You definitely have a natural affinity for saying things, like good expression. I'm really bad at speaking. I want to get better rather than I'm just great at just laying down my thoughts. What would you say is the most important thing you've learned whilst you've been podcasting?
I think podcasting has helped me become a better listener. Because I'm listening to people's answers and crafting a lesson. That's how I create my podcast. So when I'm hearing things, I'll notice keywords. I kind of notice what somebody's trying to portray, and my other questions will go around that lesson because I like to theme my episodes in one way. And so I'm like, oh, she sounds most passionate when she's talking about this. Let's go farther down that rabbit hole. And what that's helped me to do is actually, it's helped me become faster in every moment in life because I see patterns more clearly, and I will be doing something sort of mundane, and it's like my brain has now been tuned to find the lesson in this. And so even just the other day, I was going on a walk and I was wearing my baby, I was walking my dog, I was also drinking a tea, and I had my AirPods in, and I was trying to find a podcast, and I was in a dead zone. And so I was getting frustrated because I don't want to finish this walk without this. And immediately I'm frustrated at this limitation. Use my own lesson, use my limitations as guideposts. Maybe in this moment, I don't need to be consuming more information. Maybe I just need to be in this present moment. I'm doing enough things. I'm actually quadruple tasking right now. And so I just stopped. And instead, the whole walk became noticing the birds and the lake that I was walking next to. And by the time I got home, I was so much more at peace than any of the walks that I had gone to. And so even just in that moment, you don't need to be absorbing more. I think we can get so caught up in consumption instead of just being and being okay with that, or creation. And so I find myself seeking a deep lesson in some of the smallest things. And I really think that comes from how I've been training my brain through 3.5 years of talking to people and finding their lessons. It's taught me a lot, though, just in conversation skills and how to still shine as myself while creating something that's needed in the world, how to connect with people, what people end up. I get a lot of lessons from the feedback from my listeners. And again, kind of the willingness to look for those lessons. I can find a lesson in almost every aspect of what I'm doing right now. And that has come from this path that I've taken and what I speak about. And it's interesting because I did an episode once on epiphanies and how there's a science behind epiphanies. And every really successful person, if you ask them, what's an epiphany that you had in your life? Almost all of them have this moment that gave me the insight to make this product that made me a millionaire, or this moment that gave me the insight. But not a lot of non-successful people have those. Not all of them do. And again, I think even in my life, I had had a lot of epiphanies, but it wasn't until I sat and looked at, like, when was that epiphany? And I actually made a moment of that. That moment was such a big lesson for me. That then that became my epiphany, but I could have just skipped over it in my life. And so I think it's something that successful people have in common with people that are on a growth path, is that willingness to look back and figure out your lessons instead of just coasting through. And we have so many ways to just numb ourselves out to all these lessons. We have TV, scrolling through Instagram, drinking, whatever people's vices are that allow them to be just a little bit disconnected from that present moment. But instead of finding a way to get just outside of it, I'm now looking for ways to get a little bit deeper into that present moment. And I think that is where a lot of the lessons are. That's where the feelings are, the emotions in the moment that are going to guide me to my next step. And so I could talk forever about what I've learned from my podcast, but a lot of it just comes back to, again, being in the present moment and having a little bit more awareness there, so that you can have a little bit more intention in the next step.
Cool. What do you think you did best to grow the podcast? I mean, how did you go from just having the idea to grow and getting able to establish a community around that? Because that's something that people are always interested in doing, and a lot of people think they can do it, but not many people actually do.
For sure. The very first thing I did, And the lesson of this will make sense when I'm done is I remember the day I was actually launching my podcast and I had planned to go to WeWork, which was my co-working space, and basically tell as many people as I could about my podcast. That day, there were a lot of fires in California. And when I stepped outside all excited and dressed cute to tell everybody I knew about my podcast, it was just a dark haze. And I knew that there would be hardly anybody at WeWork that day. And again, it was one of those, how do I use this limitation as to speak to what I do next? And I ended up going to the nearest CVS, the nearest pharmacy, and buying out all of the smoke masks and going to WeWork. And I sat on floor two, posted on the WeWork network, free smoke masks on floor two. And every time somebody came down, I'd give them a smoke mask, but I'd also tell them about my podcast and see if they would write me my first review. So I spent the day helping people create Apple IDs, showing them how to leave a review, sometimes even drafting ideas of what to say. And I got my first 45 reviews that day. And I'm not saying this moved the needle very much in growth, but what it did do is that action, that willingness to kind of be bold and put myself out there, spoke to what I was willing to do in the future. And so many people launch their podcast kind of quietly. They're a little embarrassed. They've never done this before, so they don't tell anybody about it. They might be kind of trying to do these little side growth things and it doesn't really work. But the energy that you're putting into it is of fear and is of holding yourself back. And instead, I just went full force, like, what is the biggest splash I can make with what I'm given at this moment? And every time I was willing to do an action, I didn't know how I was going to grow my podcast from the beginning at all. But this is the only idea that's coming. Let me actually take action. So I started to build a self-belief that I was the type of person to put myself out there and take action. And then when I reached that next level, new ideas would come to me and I would actually take action on those. And then new ideas would come to me there. And so that first action that I was willing to do, even if it was a small thing, started to change my mindset and expand it. That gave me more and more ideas. But the thing that ended up moving the needle the most was, at the time, Apple wasn't updating New and Noteworthy. That was the biggest thing that you could get. Like, oh my gosh, my new podcast, it's now featured on this list. Well, Apple hadn't updated that in 18 months. So that's a limitation. Instead of being bummed that Apple wasn't focusing on their podcast app, I thought to myself, who is featuring things? And I found people that were writing about podcasts. And I found third-party apps that had their own featured section. And I made a point to start building relationships with the people in their marketing team that were actually crafting those things. So I'd find them on LinkedIn and I would find them on Twitter and I'd start retweeting stuff and replying to things. And then my name started standing out to them. So when I reached out and said, hey, I have a podcast that I think is really unique that should be featured, they were more willing to listen because they already knew who I was. But then my podcast had to be good enough for them to want to feature it. And so I thought to myself, how can I make my podcast stand out in this market? It was a self-development podcast. They were all kind of typical in their interview style. So if you go back to my first 20 episodes, I had a 20 episode plan where I was going to make them completely different. And I would spend about 8 hours editing where people would be telling some story about their life and I would add sound effects like an abusive boyfriend throwing the keys on the counter or grabbing the keys and speeding off, and I would have the sound of keys falling and an engine revving up. So I needed to make my podcast stand out. I knew that if I did that with every episode forever, I would get burnt out, but I could do that for 20 episodes. So when I was pitching my podcast, I'd say, hey, listen to this episode at this timestamp, and they'd hear how immersive it was. And they almost everybody that I reached out to, because they started to know who I was, because I put in that effort, I gave them value by retweeting their stuff or sharing their stuff. And then I also actually had a quality show. I was featured in Spotify. I was featured in CastBox. I was featured in Overcast. And it took a lot of work and creativity, but I was thinking about how can I create something of value that stands out? How can I build these relationships? All of those things together, and to where not only was my podcast featured, but I ended up knowing enough people that I spoke at Podcast Movement on Podcast Growth 6 months after I launched my show. I've spoken at PodFest. I was invited on stage with Jordan Harbinger on a panel. I was invited on stage with Pat Flynn, all because of those relationships that I developed. And some of them were even like, I paid $700 to be in, and I didn't even have money at this time. I put it all on a credit card to be in Pat Flynn's course so that I could develop a relationship with him, so that I could be in his community and add value. So a lot of it started with adding as much value as I could and really trusting that would pay off. And sometimes it would be a long-term thing. It wasn't right away. I was invited on Pat Flynn's podcast like 8 months after I got to know him. So you have to be willing to put in that work, and people always want some one growth hack. But even the things that seemed like a hack wouldn't have worked if I didn't put that effort into the quality of my show and building those relationships, which were long-term routes to take. But that's how I did it. And there was a lot more ideas that came to me that I could speak to, but we'd be here for hours. But those ideas started to come after I was taking the action and trusting that I could do this. I could put myself out there without dying, and it would all work out.
Nice. Yeah, that's really good. Really putting yourself out there, taking action. That was a lot of respect for that. Good work. And on the subject of finding other third-party apps you can go in and make friends with, so I'm running a third-party app that isn't Apple, Reason FM, which is a social podcasting app where you can make friends with other listeners, chat about your favorite podcast, engage with the content. And as a show host, you can claim your profile and talk to the other people in the app using it. So maybe you could do that. That'd be nice. I have two final questions. One is, what is one of the earliest memories you have?
My very earliest memory was laying on this circular Santa rug in front of my grandma's TV while she was changing my diaper. I think I was too young to have a memory at that point, but it stands out in my mind. I can smell the candle that was burning, and that's the first memory I ever remember having. Also, one when my parents were still together, which I remember my dad carrying me in one of those car seat carriers. I must have been an infant. I also don't know why I have this memory. There are no photos of it, but he put me on the counter and he opened a box of Rice Krispie cereal, and there was a flip book inside, like when they still put toys inside boxes. Do they still do that? Yeah. And I remember him flipping it in front of my face as a baby and a page fell out. And that might be my actual earliest memory, because I think I wasn't even one yet. But apparently we're not supposed to have memories till we're three, but I definitely have those two. So
cool. And what's one of the kindest things someone has ever done for you?
It's funny, because when I was recalling, as you asked that question, I wanted to think of some big moment, but what keeps popping out is actually not any big moment. It's just encouraging me to be myself and giving me permission, like that's okay. When we went through my story, I had a lot of issues with self-worth. I always seemed confident from the outside, but the amount of times that people told me that I was too much or too hyper or too big of a personality, as much as I felt I wanted to be confident in who I am, there was always a little seed of self-doubt right after I did big things. And I think it was when I met my husband, there have been times where he knows me well enough to where he could see that me do something with all this light and energy inside of me, and then all of a sudden kind of dim myself out, and he would notice that and give me encouragement and just say, that was awesome, or don't worry about being too much for people. You're just enough for the people, for the right people, or whatever it was. And even singing karaoke in the car, I love to sing. It's not like I'm a professional or anything, but I just love doing it. It lights me up, but I would never sing in front of people. And one day in the car, he heard me kind of singing in a low voice. And he's like, sing louder. Like, that was really good. And now I'll sing whenever. And so it was really more so those little things that gave me the permission that I should have been giving myself. But instead, a little outside help at the time was something that was helpful and needed. I think that's the kindest thing that anyone's ever done for me.
Thanks. Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. That was lovely. Do you have any questions for me at all?
What's your favorite part of podcasting, and how did you get here?
I guess I'm really curious, and the chance to be more curious is great. So trying to have deep conversations with people who you might not be able to get hold of is awesome. Chance to kind of develop your skills and be curious about like those is really nice. And like on my other podcast, I kind of read a book a week and just geek out on learning more. And I think it's just a nice forcing function to make you do things a bit more properly. Like, I love reading books, but I don't like bother to make notes on them and sort of condense that knowledge. But because I have the podcast, I suddenly do that kind of thing. And it's just nice to have that sort of follow-up nature and do something good with that. I guess curiosity really was what like drove me, and it's really good for that.
I think curiosity is the best driver because it keeps us open-minded to the decision instead of making the decision based on thinking we have it all figured out. So I love that.
Thanks. Cool. All right. Well, anywhere you want people to go and find you besides the Mind Love podcast?
Yeah, my website is mindlove.com, and I do have a daily email called The Morning Mind Love that's just short notes of inspiration from your highest self. It helps you start the day on a positive note, and you can sign up for that right on the homepage of mindlove.com or text the word morning to 33777.
Cool. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.